Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
21 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Did you know that women are often encouraged to abort their child if their child has a problem? Everything from Down syndrome to spina bifida to trisomy 18. Women are told their child is incompatible with life or given other dire scenarios. Our next guest, Rafaela Castagnini, is going to talk to us about that experience and also what it's like to be a mom of a non-typical kid. Rafaela is the mother of 11-year-old Maristella, who has trisomy 18, and Carmela, who's 13. She and her husband, Tom, homeschool their kids and live in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Good morning, Rafaela. Welcome to Morning Air. Great to be with you.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
Rafaela, take us back to when you were pregnant with your daughter, Maristella. Did you find out before she was born that she had a disability?
Actually, 11 years ago, really these days, we did had they gave us a 1 in 4 chances that Maristella might have had trisomy 18. And because I was in my late 30s, I had some specific blood tests done and early ultrasounds. And the combination of the two of them gave us a higher chance that Maristella had trisomy 18. However, we chose not to do the amniocentesis to have what they call the certain diagnosis that is never certain. But we knew that we were not done anything different for with our pregnancy, so we chose not to have that, and we just went on, and we went from there.
What was it like when you received the diagnosis? Do you remember your emotions, your thoughts at the time, both you and your husband?
We were shocked and devastated, mostly because, not because we would have had a child with special needs, but because the only scenarios that they were going to give us was that either Maristella would have died in the womb before birth, or that she would have died shortly after birth, or certainly she would have died in the first year of her life, because 90% of the children with trisomy 18 unfortunately pass away in the first year. So it was devastating for my parents to start planning for a funeral and you didn't have a child yet.
Oftentimes, doctors paint a very dire picture of trisomy 18. They oftentimes recommend terminating the pregnancy. They recommend an abortion. After Maristella was born, what kind of help did she need?
Yeah, sadly, we were offered abortion twice, despite the fact that we told them that we are Catholic and we are very pro-life and we do not believe that abortion is the solution. We were happy not to actually have a full diagnosis with the amniocentesis, because when Maristella was born, she actually needed immediate respiratory support. And oftentimes, when the doctor has almost a certainty that the child has trisomy 18, they are not even offer oxygen, intubation, or any life-saving medical treatment that are needed immediately right away. So, yeah, she was intubated, and she was sent in ICU, NICU, in which she stayed for about 6 months.
Tell me, for folks who are not familiar, they may have heard of it, but they don't really know what are some of the symptoms of trisomy 18. Can you talk to us a little bit about the symptoms of trisomy 18?
The majority of children with trisomy 18, about 90%, usually has a heart defect. That can be from a mild to a very severe heart defect, and more often, their lungs are underdeveloped, even if they are born at a typical gestational age. And so when they are born, they need immediate respiratory support. They can go from a mild support with an oxygen cannula to be intubated and put on a ventilator to be helped breathing. And Maristella needed to be intubated at the time.
How did she react in those first important months, especially when you consider the dire statistics that 90% of the babies with trisomy 18 don't make it through that first year?
It's astounding that Marisola loved her dad singing. Of all the things that were happening at that time, my husband loved to sing to our daughter when he was in NICU. And her overall vitals were always much better when dad was around singing than when he was not. She certainly went through, she had a lot of medical needs, especially because we find out that her heart condition was much worse than we were expecting. And sadly, we find out that when we had the final diagnosis through genetic testing that Marisola had what's called full trisomy 18, the doctor were no longer willing to cooperate and give her full support or full medical needs that she needed at the time.
I'd like to invite our listeners. We're talking with Rafaela Castagnini, the mother of a daughter with trisomy 18. If you have questions for Rafaela about this issue, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. If you've ever been pressured into trying to get an abortion by doctors because the pregnancy doesn't appear to be normal, call us and share with us here on the air. Rafaela, how cooperative was the medical staff in the hospital during this period early on?
As I mentioned, we weren't on the path for a heart surgery before we knew about the diagnosis of Marisola trisomy 18. And when we got the results back of the trisomy 18, then the whole attitude of the medical team changed. And we were pressured into taking Marisola home and, as they said, enjoy until you have it. But basically, they were no longer interested to do the life-saving heart surgery that she needed. But neither my husband nor I took that, and we didn't take a no. And I have to give credit to my husband that he did fight the ethics committee that decided Marisola was not a candidate for surgery just based on the fact that she has special needs, not based on any other medical fact. And he took it all the way to the president of the hospital to actually make the heart surgery happen, because from my perspective, she was not anywhere different than our older son. And if he needed heart surgery, we would have done anything possible to try to save his life and not just let him go. So we gave Marisol the same chance that we would have gave Carmelo. And after battling, we were actually able to, after 3 months, to have open heart surgery for Marisola that was very successful. And one of the things, she's still here with us today. Without that surgery, she would have certainly died in a few months period.
A tremendous, tremendous blessing that she's still with us. And she is really, in many ways, a miracle baby, the fact that 11 years later, she's still with us.
Yes, we certainly call her our miracle baby.
Rafaela, one of the things that doctors will say when they try to pressure women to abort is, think of what this will do to your family. In many ways, it's kind of a scare tactic. Realistically speaking, from your perspective, what has choosing life done for your family? What has this done for your family?
Marisola has been a blessing to all of us. They told us that it would have destroyed our marriage, that her sibling would have been angry toward the fact of having a child with special needs and needed so much attention, and it's exactly the opposite. I can say that we are all better people today because of Marisola. She is a very joyful child, and she certainly brought heaven on earth, and we feel blessed. Yes, the road was like being on a roller coaster from the medical perspective, but our family has certainly gained with Marisola, and we have not missed anything.
Rafaela, how important has your Catholic faith been in dealing with this entire situation with Marisola?
Certainly critical, We hang on it, and our prayer life has blossomed since she was born. She certainly took us closer to God. I had to say that I was probably one of those lukewarm Catholic Italians that now has really come closer to Jesus because of Marisela. And our faith take us through daily decision, big decision. We always ask for God help to choose what's the best next step to do for Marisela needs.
Less than a minute, a final thought, a word for any mom that's listening, that's being told by her doctor to consider abortion.
In the last 11 years, I have not met one single parent that have regretted to take their children up to the moment of birth, to enjoy with them, even if it is just for a few minutes, or even those that passed in the womb. The mom has never regretted to make that choice. Unfortunately, I met many moms that have regretted to have had an abortion or to not have even given the chance to their children to get the medical support that is available nowadays. So God will reward you, and trust in God. Enjoy your pregnancy too.
Thanks so much, Raffaella Castagnini, mother of 11-year-old Marisela. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Father Rocky, CEO of Relevant Radio, will be with us to talk about the power of the Holy Rosary. We'll take your calls and share some miracle moments from the family rosary across America. Stay with us. Much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
36 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Feast of St. Maria Goretti. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of the program, that's 888-914-9149. Now we're going to talk about the rosary, the prayer of the gospel. The Holy Rosary may be the most beloved devotion of our Catholic faith. It's not just a prayer that we repeat again and again. There's so much more behind it. As Catholics, we also know that the rosary is the most powerful prayer when we desire a miracle or some other special favor or grace from the Lord. And now, once again, we are blessed to be joined by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, to talk about the power of the rosary. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei who was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II. You can join Father Rocky on the Family Rosary across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central, every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. If you pray the rosary and you want to share what it means to you, we have open lines again, 888-914-9149. Father Rocky, as always, great to be with you once again. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, John, and great to be with you. You know, before I say something about the rosary, I just got to pick up on that conversation you're just having with Raffaella. I found it quite fascinating. And she was speaking about her daughter who had, what's it?
Trisomy 18.
All right. That's normally known as Down syndrome, right?
It is. It is one of the Down syndrome related illnesses.
So here's my story. Shortly after I was ordained as a priest and I moved back to the United States in Pittsburgh, I was asked to go visit a young family up in the Cleveland area. They had a daughter with this condition, 6 months old, and she was going to have open heart surgery. Could I come and bless her and anoint her and visit the mother and all that, right? So now, almost 25, 30 years later, that child is flourishing and has a full-time job and writes me letters. Isn't that amazing?
Outstanding. That is amazing.
Writes me letters. She's the joy of the family. And, you know, so it wasn't a heart transplant. It was, you know, normally these children are born with some sort of defects that can be repaired, right?
Absolutely.
And I remember that, and I've followed her progress all these years. And they listen to Relevant Radio. They join the Family Rosary Cross of America. She's the absolute joy of the family. So I'm really glad you had that part on the air. because sometimes in the medical community, they can have sort of a pessimistic attitude, I think. You know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
Absolutely.
I suppose they mean well, but, you know, the fact is there's all these counterindications that, you know, with a little bit of effort and, you know, the things can turn out very, very well. But anyway, back to the rosary. Thank you for teasing this up on such a great feast day, the feast of St. Maria Goretti, who was a magnificent example to all of us because of her clear conscience when she told her would-be assailant, no, I'm not going to do it. It's a sin. Really a credit to her parents, the way she raised her. And also credit to the fact that that family had the blessed custom of praying the rosary. So the rosary is a very simple prayer. And because of that, anyone can pray it. It has the Our Father. It has the Hail Mary. It has the Glory Be. And that's about it. These are three basic prayers. And I remember the day that Pope Francis was elected, because I was doing on-air commentary for a local TV station that day. And when he came out to the balcony of St. Peter's, he led the whole world in the Our Father, the Hail Mary, Glory Be. These are the three basic prayers. Every Catholic knows those prayers. And even a four-year-old knows those prayers. And that's what's so beautiful about the rosary. It's not too complicated to pray it. And we don't know the entire origin of it. It's certainly from the Middle Ages, if not before. But when Our Lady appeared at Lourdes and Our Lady appeared at Fatima, she asked the world to pray the rosary. When Our Lady appeared at Our Lady of Good Help near Green Bay, she also asked us to pray for the conversion of sinners, which we do.
And Father Rocky, I've called it the prayer of the gospel for a long, long time. I truly believe that it is such a powerful prayer. And as you just pointed out, those three basic prayers, they're very biblical. They're literally right out of sacred scripture, the Hail Mary, the Our Father, and the Glory Be.
Well, certainly the Lord's Prayer is the Our Father. And I've been thinking about this because I've had the good fortune to travel to the Holy Land four times, and there's a place there, a church and a location which is known as the Pater Noster, which is Latin for Our Father. And that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, has been translated into probably more than 200 languages throughout the world. I don't know how many languages there are, but that's quite a few. And I think when our Lord taught it to the apostles, it wasn't one and done. Although in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are known as the Synoptic Gospels because they basically tell the same story from the same chronology, it's only recorded once. But nobody learns a prayer just hearing it once. You know, you have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Probably the Lord repeated it, I'm going to say 30 to 50 times until the apostles had it down. And that's why they were able to record it in the New Testament. So that prayer has been given to us by Jesus. Yes, it's a prayer of the gospel. The Hail Mary, half of it was right there in the Gospel of Luke, right? Part of it from the Archangel Gabriel. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And the second part of that first part is from St. Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then the church added the rest. The name Jesus, and then Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. That was added by the church. The Glory Be can be rooted to, I think, the Old Testament book of Daniel and the prophecies of the angels in heaven glorifying God, the cherubim, the seraphim, and all the rest. So it really is something. Now, here's something you may not know, John. Do you know how many psalms there are in the Old Testament, P-S-A-L-M-S? Do you know how many psalms there are?
150, Father.
That's right. All right. And before John Paul II added the luminous mysteries to the rosary, there were only three sets of mysteries, joyful, sorrowful, and glorious. How many Hail Marys would there be in that rosary? 150, just like the 150 Psalms, plus three at the beginning, right?
Absolutely.
And that adds up to the mystical number 153 was the number of fish that the apostles caught when they had that miraculous catch of fish, but I'm not going to go in that direction. So in the Middle Ages, most people were not literate, L-I-T-R-A-T-E, which means they could not read or write. That is more of a development of modern times. So how would you educate the people? Well, they would educate the people by building beautiful cathedrals and churches with magnificent art, but also teaching them to pray the rosary. And since they weren't literate and educated monks and religious living in monasteries praying the divine office, which during the course of the month goes through all 150 psalms, they had a workaround. Let's pray the rosary. And in the course of the rosary, those 150 Hail Marys will be a substitute for the 150 Psalms. And we will serve you up various events in life of the Holy Family, which are very helpful to meditate on. So those are the five joyful mysteries, the five glorious mysteries, and the five sorrowful mysteries. Then 1,000 years later, John Paul II, in the year 2003, added five more mysteries known as the luminous mysteries. And I'm thinking 1,000 years from now, John, that may be what St. John Paul is remembered for more than anything else. That might have the biggest impact on the life of the church and the piety of the people. But that's an explanation I've heard why the rosary had the 150 Hail Marys as a way to sort of substitute for the people who couldn't read or pray the Psalms. And it is. It's a walk through the Bible, right? So the Gospels, the life of Jesus, Mary, Joseph. So we have the joyful mysteries. The first one is the Annunciation, which is, oh my goodness, it's probably the most important moment in history. In fact, our calendars are founded on that date, A.D. and B.C. We live in the year 2021 A.D. Anno Domini, Latin for in the year of the Lord, and we started calculating from the moment of the conception of Jesus, which we celebrate on March 25th every year. So that's a big moment. And I invite people to reflect on those scenes, read the gospel description of it, and ponder it like Mary pondered it. In fact, John, we're going to be coming out with a book later this year called The Treasures of the Rosary, Reflections on the Rosary by People Who Pray It Daily. And we're going to include in it some of the reflections by St. Josemaria, who takes each one of the mysteries and goes deeper into them, really brings them alive. And that way, you get to know the Holy Family little by little, better and better. And second joyful mystery, the Visitation. You know, what's stunning here is it's about 90 miles from Nazareth to the little village of Ein Karim near Jerusalem, where Mary's cousin Elizabeth lived. And Mary took the initiative to go help her cousin for 3 months doing housework. How do you think she got there? Do you think she took an Uber?
No way. Probably a little burro.
Yeah, she probably walked. You know, that's a long distance, right? And she was 14 or 15 years old. Our Lady is now expecting. She heard the message from the angel. Your cousin Elizabeth, who's advanced in years, is also 6 months pregnant. And there's no evidence in the Gospels that Mary was told by anyone, much less the archangel, go help your cousin. She needs help. Mary simply put two and two together. She was generous. She took initiative. And she realized, you know what? My cousin Elizabeth needs help. And she went and helped her for 3 months. You know, many of those listening right now, can you imagine, you know, your cousin or niece coming to help you out for 3 months with the laundry and the wash and vacuuming and the plumbing and the cooking and the feeding and all the rest? Gosh, what a bonanza, right? And that's how generous Our Lady was. And we can learn from that, right? Her generous spirit of initiative. So, you know, you can go through each of the now 20 mysteries of the Rosary and ponder on them. And as you ponder on them, you learn more about the Holy Family. So I've discovered that the Rosary is a prayer of meditation, but it's also a prayer of petition. We see that every night on Relat Radio. People call in with prayers of petition. And I tell people the more praying, people praying at the same time, the more powerful the prayers, right? So we're asking God to intercede for these intentions. So it's a beautiful devotion, and you can pray it anywhere. You can pray it in the car. You can pray it in a plane. You can pray it in a train. Look, this is not Dr. Seuss' Green Eggs and Ham, I Am, right? But you can pray it anywhere. You can pray in the garage. You can pray in the deck.
Father,
the
I remember pool. Years ago, it's an image I never forget, being on the Kennedy Expressway with you, and you pulled out your rosary and said, let's pray the rosary. And we were praying the rosary in the middle of traffic. I mean, so this is something you've been doing for a long, long time.
Hi, the Kennedy Expressway, I was on it yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought there'd be nobody out there. Guess what? Everybody was out there.
The whole world was out yesterday.
Yeah. The whole world was out yesterday. Exactly. On July 5th. I went by a water park in northern India. There must have been a million cars there. I mean, everybody was out yesterday. So anyway, God bless. Yeah, I've learned that. You know, you're in the car. You know, there's only You know, there's only so much radio you can listen to at some point. Yeah, I mean, you can listen to real radio all the time. I agree. But, you know, at some point, it's a great, it's your time to pray the rosary there. And if you have a hard time praying the rosary by yourself, because you might get distracted, you can use the pre-recorded rosary on the Relevant Radio app. It's there for free.
Three different versions.
That's right. Regular, extra, and super duper.
And I thought you were going to say extra crispy.
No, not extra crispy. I've heard that one before. And then someone said, you know, you need to record one in Latin. Okay, I'll put that on the to-do list. And we still have the Relevant Radio app in Espanol, and if you want to pray in Spanish, you can go there. Or you can dial into the Family Rosary Cross America on demand. It's out there. And don't worry if you get distracted. Don't worry if you get lost. Don't worry if the kid starts squirming. Don't worry if the baby starts crying or the toast starts burning, the milk gets spilled, or somebody knocks on the door. That's okay. It's not a sacrament. It's a prayer. It's a prayer of the faithful. And it allows of great diversity and adaptability to the circumstances. And God does the rest, right? God does the rest.
Absolutely. We're joined by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, priest of Opus Dei, the CEO and chairman of Relevant Radio, talking about the power of the rosary. We also want to talk about the Family Rosary Across America. Father, what's that experience been like since you've taken over during the pandemic? You have touched so many lives. What have you enjoyed the most of the Family Rosary Across America?
What really energizes me, hearing from the people, and all the people, and I would say, and especially with the children, because children are so pure and innocent, good, and they have real strong faith. So years ago, at Christmas time, I said, hey, let's do a family rosary novena. Because I had the first couple years here, like the 2 weeks before Christmas, I went to visit a lot of people. We had a lot of parties. I played a lot of piano. We sang a lot of songs. And I'm finding, you know what? I'm celebrating Christmas too early. I love parties. Everybody knows me. I love parties. I said, I want to do something different. I want to do something a little more spiritual. So I canceled those road trips to visiting people and begging for money for Relevant Radio. I said, let's just take 9 days before Christmas, and we'll do it in our studios in Green Bay or Chicago, and invite families in every night, and we're going to do a family rosary novena to prepare for Christmas. A little bit like what Mexicans do with the posadas, except you're not going from house to house. And so every night we'd have one or two or three for our families in, and we'd pray the rosary. We'd take some phone calls. I think we'd video stream it. And then we'd have a little party with the people afterwards. It was great. Absolutely great. And I thought, gosh, it'd be great if we could do this every day, you know, but how do we do it? Because I knew I couldn't make that commitment to do it every day, right? And I just didn't know how to do it. So anyway, through a set of circumstances, there was an opportunity that arose to change some of the programming on Relevant Radio. This is right after we merged with Immaculate Heart on the West Coast. And one thing led to another. It seemed to be a solution to four or five different problems at once. And so Father Dave Heaney, God bless him, pastor of St. Bruno's Parish out in Whittier, California, he said he could do it. It's at 5 o'clock his time. So after office hours, but before dinner, we set him up with a studio in his rectory. I was there the first day he did it. Karen Moran, who came with us from Immaculate Heart, said, well, I could do the responses, and she did a great job. And so they did that from, I'm going to say, January 2018 until March 2020. For 2 years, they were doing it every night. And I liked listening to it. You know, sometimes I'd be driving back from Green Bay in the evening, listening on 100.1 FM WSJP from Milwaukee, a great FM station, because in the winter at 7 o'clock, it's dark, right? And so this got a real nice feel for it. You know, people are praying the rosary. And then guess what we discovered, John?
People love playing. They loved praying the rosary from 50 states and around the world. Everybody wanted to pray the rosary with you.
Everyone would pray the rosary live, interactive. Our ratings went through the roof on the West Coast. And I don't know if the Department of Traffic said that traffic accidents went down, but, you know, there's monster traffic jams out in L.A., and people get out of work at 5, and they turn on the radio and say, well, this is helpful. This is calming. This isn't going to get me upset and irritated and angry. This is something positive. So when COVID shut everything down last year in March, I moved up to Green Bay so we could have mass every day at noon because I knew we couldn't have visiting priests, you know, because everything was shut down. Everybody was sort of kind of quarantined. I said, okay, I'll stay there. And since it was there and there was nothing going on at night, I said, you know, I'm going to do the rosary. And I said, Father Dave, let me take it from here. And I don't know how long this will last, but it has lasted. And a lot of people have joined us. And so it's a beautiful thing. Try to do it live whenever possible. It's fresh every day, 7 days of the week. We've got a marvelous team in the background, half a dozen or more who make it happen. Patrick Alog screens the calls. He also helps us on the pre-records. Lucas Holt, he's the board operator, Martyr Jury. He's our sound engineer. Dan Axe and Amy Schmidt have done the video. Then we've got other people in graphic design who take care of the pictures. We've got a marketing team working on it. And I'd like to see it grow. And I'd like
and of
to
course, Margaret Kleinschmidt.
Margaret's our new co-host, and Sarah's our weekend co-host. And then we had Karen, we had Suzanne. They were excellent. And it's a simple prayer, but I know it brings families together.
I love the kids, Father. I love the little kids that call in. They're so cute. I love to talk a little bit about the kids, and also there's been some tremendous miracle moments during this Family Rosary Across America. We have time for a couple of them if you can share with us.
Yeah, sure. No, to me, that's what's most energizing and fulfilling about this. I know that the families are together. So if a child calls in, somebody under 12, 10 years old, you know the whole family's involved in it in one way or another. They may not be in the same room. You know, so like when you're making your phone call, you might be over in another room because the rest of the family is in the living room and it's 20 seconds off, right? But they're around. They might be in the kitchen, but they're around. And it's a beautiful thing for the family to be together. It's especially in this day and age when there's so many forces trying to split the family apart. Because they work together, they love each other, they help each other, they understand each other. Sure, they fidget and they argue and all the rest. That's just human life, right? But when a child calls in, you know that the whole family's there. Sometimes it might be, you know, three people. It might be 10 people. I know the dads are there too. They don't usually call in because they're acting like St. Joseph. And not one of his words was recorded in the Bible. They're kind of quiet. But I remember Jeremy from New Jersey calling in early April in COVID. And he got through. He was 11 years old, wanted to pray for his father, Pedro Gonzalez, because he was in the ICU. His mom said he needed a miracle. I said, thank you, Jeremy. We're going to have the whole country pray for him. So we prayed. And then 2 weeks later, he called in again and said, we got the miracle. And then about 5 days later, I saw in a news feed on my app a story about a hospital where the president said it's a miracle. This guy got out. He was on the ventilator for 38 days. And it's a miracle. And that was a guy, Pedro Gonzalez. We have many, many stories like that about prayers answered. So I invite everybody, join us every evening at 7 p.m. Central Time on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, on our app, on the Father Rocky Facebook page, on YouTube channel, and spread the word, because the more people praying at the same time, the more powerful those prayers. And one of our intentions is for an end to abortion. Clearly, we need a miracle for this, because we have a lot of people who simply don't understand. And I'll leave it that way. That's a nice way of putting it. I simply don't understand. And we need God's grace to intervene in human history, as Our Lady has done before, so people can understand what's going on and we can stop this terrible practice.
And Father, we're in the middle of a long, long novena to end abortion that you're going to continue to do until next year.
Sure, because the Supreme Court's taken a monumental case in October, which is the month of Respect Life. And also the month of the Rosary. It's the biggest challenge to Casey versus Planned Parenthood in 1992. And that's one of the strategies is to change the law. But what we also need is God's grace to change our heart. Because life is good. God will help us. There's plenty for everyone. And we need God's help.
Well, Father Rocky, as always, thank you so much for...
Thanks,
sharing
John. Thank
your
you
love
for,
of the rosary. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for the previous talk on the children who have birth defects.
Absolutely. That's an issue that's very dear to my heart and to my wife, Cindy, as well. Father Rocky, you can join him on the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions right here on Relevant Radio, 7 p.m. Central every night. Now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is we're just weeks away from another Olympics, this time in Tokyo, is a story about the Olympics in London. It's called The Fastest Man Alive. It took less than 10 seconds for Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt to cover the 100-meter distance on the Olympic track and win the gold medal in London in 2012. Those few seconds cemented his status as the fastest man alive and placed him on the winner's podium once again. But the race was not won in those seconds. It was won by hours and hours of practice, workouts, weightlifting, special diet, and coaching. The race was not won in the performance, but in the preparation. It's our desire for something greater that causes us to sacrifice some things, even some good things, for the sake of things that are better. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Thanks so much, Glenn. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow.